her down there one time before he retired his missionary hat. And then next to Kathy is Ryan Talbert, who works at the fire department in Fairmont with Will. This was his first mission trip at all. And then beside him is Jason Moose Johnson, and then you've got the three of us. And then the other four folks are people in Honduras. So the man beside Will is Colby Palmer. He is from Wilmington, North Carolina, but he does most of our translating services. He obviously speaks English, but then he also speaks Spanish and Mosquito, which is very helpful in that region. And then beside him is Pastor Bertin, who is the pastor of the Church of God in Puerto Lempira. He is also like the regional director of the Church of Gods in that area. So he's over like, did he say like 100? Like maybe 100 churches that are kind of in his charge. And then his wife, Dolly, is right in front of him. And beside them is Mama Linda, who is from Louisiana, but she has lived down there for over a decade now, and she runs the orphanage. So those are the people we spend our time with while we're down there, and then us. So the very first thing that we did when we got there was to do a pastoral training for Pastor Bertin's church. When Mel first started going down there, that wasn't on the agenda. It was just the Mosquito pastors. But Bertin saw what he did and liked it, and so he asked him if he would be willing to do it for his pastors a couple years ago. So for the last few times, that has been something that we've added in. And with him being over the churches in the region, he opened it up to all of the nearby Church of Gods, or Churches of God. And so we had, I think, 6 or 7 different leadership teams attend that training one of the first evenings that we were there. And then Colby is, of course, translating for Mel. We also did a training at the church that Colby attends, which is a Baptist church. And it is preached in Mosquito rather than Spanish. So it is a Mosquito congregation. So Mel did a training for their church, and then Colby translated into Mosquito for them. This was more of that same training. And so this is kind of the flyer that the Church of God put together to advertise Mel's training. So his trainings focus on Israel. So he wants to teach about the landscapes and the culture of ancient Israel so that people have an understanding of these biblical stories that they hear, and they have no frame of reference for it because they've never seen the Sea of Galilee, or they don't know about the religious traditions of the Pharisees at the time of Jesus or whatever. So he gives this cultural history and this overview of the landscape and topography of the region so that they can have a framework to lay these stories within when they hear these stories and get a better picture of the full understanding of what these stories meant to the people at the time, like the parables and things like that.
These are people that didn't grow up with flannel graphs in Sunday school, and they don't have books or TV shows to watch. So trying to explain the storm that came across the Sea of Galilee to them is, they know what a 12-foot wooden canoe looks like on a river, but they have some frame of reference because they have some canoes, but there are a lot of things that they're not able to comprehend without Mel showing the slides that we're about to show, that kind of shows them what it's like to have 12 or 13 people in a tiny boat, or explains, you know, the whitewashed tombs that were behind everybody when Jesus was calling them whitewashed tombs. This is the turnout of Pastor Bertin's church. This is the church. Yeah, this is the church that we typically attend when we're down there. And as Stephanie said, there were at least 6 or 7 other Churches of God in attendance, the leaders of those churches coming for this pastoral training. And this is just another view. This is, again, just Pastor Mel giving them sort of a concept of the topography, what it looked like to make a passage from, you know, Jericho to Jerusalem. This was where we met with the pastors from Nicaragua. These are the ones that we've been working with for years. Since we can't get into Nicaragua anymore, they make the trip to Honduras. So this was later in the week. This was specifically the Nicaraguan pastors that we work with. And you can go to the next slide. And this is, again, this is Pastor Mel. Because he's made so many trips to Israel, he's got these pictures and he's got the stories that he can share to really bring the words off the page and paint them a picture of what happened. And then this is, can't quite tell from this picture, but it's just a hillside covered in the tombs, and this is where Jesus would have been speaking to the Pharisees and the rabbis. And again, Pastor Mel showing in this particular example just how much work it would have taken to lower somebody through a roof. Talking about having your mat carriers, you know, really put in the work for you, you know, and the importance of that. They didn't just kind of show up and, excuse me, can we get through here? They had to put some work in. And while we were there, one of our translator from Nicaragua that we've been working with for over a decade now, Joyner, asked Pastor Mel, since this was the last time he's going to see Pastor Mel, he asked if he would baptize him. So Pastor Mel and Jason baptized Joyner, and the middle picture is Pastor Renee praying over Pastor Mel. Pastor Renee is one of the Nicaraguan pastors. And so it was a chance for everybody to have a little bit of closure and say goodbye to Pastor Mel, as this would be his last trip. Yeah, and one of the other things is down there in Nicaragua, there has been so much turnover. It's been tough to keep pastors in churches, but Pastor Renee has been a constant. He and another pastor, Elvis, have been the two that we've been able to work with, and they've been there from the start. So while pastoral training was a very big part of what we were doing down there, we'd like to work with Mama Tara's Orphanage. That's kind of where we focus in Puerto Lempira when we aren't working the remote villages. Go to the next one. So naturally, we get together with the kids. We everything from chess, soccer, or football. I learned some Nicaraguan version of hopscotch, Honduran. Yes, mosquito. Go to the next slide. But the project this year was, this is their dishwashing station. So they've got, just behind that fence is their outdoor kitchen. They cook over fire. But their dishwashing station was leaking and there was mold growing and kids were just, it was a mess. So that was just a quick project that we were able to do while we were down there. Like I said, pastoral training was the big part, but this was a chance to spend time with the kids, a chance to help out the orphanage. So this was our project. Had a couple helpers. I had Justice and Anna and Catherine helping me out with cleaning all the old stuff off there before we installed the new sinks. And I had my helpers watching to make sure that the QC was good there. You can go to the next slide. Just more of the construction there. And then this is, Jason was teaching Colby how to maintain, just do oil changes and maintenance on the generator they have down there. One of the things about Colby is he's not just our translator. He also helps with a handful of ministries in the area. He helps missionaries that come down. He helps at the orphanage. He does a lot of logistical work to keep things going for the teams that go down. He doesn't just translate. He does a lot of, he lines up transportation. He does a lot of behind the scenes work to make it a lot easier for people like us when we go down there. This is just more playing with kids. And one of the things we got to do is, you'll see a slide in a minute of Jacob and Jen Rose, and Jacob has set up a Facebook group to try to get all of the American missionaries who are working in La Mesquitia working together, because for a decade or better, people have been working down there not knowing about one another. So this is sort of the pockets where American missionaries are working in Nicaragua and Honduras. If you look up there toward the top right around Cauquira and Puerto Limpira, Puerto Limpira is where we are right now. Below that, Waspon was where we were years ago in Nicaragua. So that's the region that we're in right now, but we're, this trip, we were able to meet some people and really do some networking. So this is a Bible study that we got to attend. This is the Gringo Bible study, where we met on, I think it was Friday mornings. And in the top picture, you see an exhausted Ryan Talbert. And to the right of him are Mike and Lisa. They live down there. They run a home for troubled teens. They take in anywhere from 10, yes, boys specifically, anywhere from 10 to 18 years old, put them through school and get them set on a career path and out of trouble. This is where they are. This is Mike and Lisa's operation. They are La Casa del Camino and the house of the line, or of the way. So this was an opportunity to, we got to sit down and really talk with them this year. We've met them. They've been people that we've talked with a little bit, but we got to sit down and speak with them at length and hear about their mission. You can go to the next slide. So it was a good opportunity to really hear their story, hear more specifically what they're doing and how we can be praying for them. You can go to the next slide. And this is, to the right are Jacob and Jen Rose. We're networking, playing Phase 10, solving all the world's problems. But he's the one who put together this Facebook group, and we are looking at a lot of different operations in the coming years where we can get back to the remote villages and do more of the community development that has fallen to the wayside a little bit in the last couple of years. But they're going to be a big part of that in helping us network with other people. And this was the very top. We went to Coffee Rolls, which was Pastor Mel's favorite place to go every trip. We always had to go there. And in the bottom picture, again, is the group at Pastor Bertin's house. They host us every year. They used to run a pizza place, so we would go there for pizzas every year. It's kind of our yearly thing. One of the other people that we didn't get to talk to, or didn't get to talk about very much, all the way on the left, in the bottom left, is Hedemaeus, who came through the orphanage. He is working with another guy named Max down there, and the two of them are doing a lot with community development in the villages around the area. So we're excited to work with them. They have very much the same mission that SALT has of coming alongside the communities, working with the communities, but the communities are doing the work. And then we just wanted to include one more picture of Colby. He's, he's the guy who really does all the behind the scenes work to keep us moving. He lives in North Carolina. Well, he is from Wilmington, North Carolina. He spends 10 months out of the year in Honduras. And then when he runs out of money, he comes back home for 4 months, taking whatever odd job he can so he can save up enough money to go back down for another 10 or 12 months. So he's just out there. I mean, his heart's in Honduras, and he comes home to try to make money to get back down to Honduras. And I believe that was our last slide. Okay. So try not to be too long-winded. Try not to take up too much time so that Satir has time. If anybody's got any questions, feel free to come talk to us. We'll talk your ear off about it. But yeah. Thanks. thank you guys for, you guys are the ones that get us down there. It's your prayers and your support, and I've said it before, but it's huge to come to a place like this and to know that you guys are praying for us. It means the world. So when we're down there and when, you know,